Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another session at the ACTRE Summit 2026. My name is Sasha Antioch. Very pleased to be your chair today. So this year's summit theme is the Great Recalibration. So this is all about the profound structural shifts we're all navigating. And there has been a strong focus on retirement subjects today, which I've been really excited about. And everyone in this room will know that we are facing into some aging demographic challenges in Australia and indeed worldwide. And we need to serve our aging customer base. And this is going to happen at the same time as a massive AI boom and change all our lives. So this next session is going to draw on these two themes in a really practical way. Always on intelligence, embedding AI in retirement guidance is around digital tools that we can use to help us scale and deliver personalised advice to our customers in the decumulation phase. It's going to be looking at how we can use predictive analysis to deliver outcomes that are both personalised and can give confidence to our customers, but also to help them to make nudges and make decisions at those really critical decision points in the retirement journey. So I'm going to be introducing our presenter, Oscar Chen, who's at Colonial First State. So a big welcome to Oscar as he comes to the stage. And please use your Q&A on your app, or we do have the microphone in the room and we'll do some Q&A at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sasha, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me at this session. I'm going to start with a simple question. Have you or anyone you know ever needed financial guidance, however found the support of the guidance is not there when you actually need it? Let's think about someone like Mary, who has just retired, confident, but until the market dipped. She was very concerned and looking for her advisor to help. However, she was told the wait time is 6 weeks. Until the help was there, she'd lost confidence, she's lost sleep, and more importantly, she's lost a lot of her wealth at retirement. And the reality is, Mary is not the edge case, it's increasingly the norm. That is what happens when retirement is episodic. When guidance is episodic, but retirement is continuous. Today, I want to explore how we shift that towards always on and AI-enabled guidance that really provides support to members across their whole retirement journey. I want to walk through you with five paths today. Why we need a new model? What sits underneath it, what this looks like in practice, and how this shapes retirement into a journey. And lastly, with everyone in the room, how do we actuaries fit into that? As we go, feel free to reflect on your own organization. Where are you today on this journey? But remember, the key thing throughout, AI doesn't replace humans. It scales what we can already do very well. So let's start with the core question. Why does the current model of retirement guidance no longer hold? Well, at a system level, we have a fundamental mismatch. On one hand, it forecasts that over 2.5 million Australians are entering into retirement in the next decade. On the other hand, we've got a shrinking advisor workforce, which different stats have different numbers, but estimated around 15,000 today. So structurally, there's a gap. Why is that? Well, if you think about on average, advisors normally serve about 100 clients. And assuming each of them are focusing on retirees only, and each of them are retirement specialists themselves, and each of them are acting at their full capacity. If I do my math right, I hope, it's 1.5 million capacity delivered by this current advisor workforce. So already We've got 2.5 million people approaching or entering into retirement, and we only have 1.5 million capacity provided by the current advisors. That's a 1 million gap. And that's already, that number is still growing with more retirees entering into the new phase. So how are we planning to bridge that gap? At the same time, expectations are also shifting. Members don't see retirement as a product anymore. They are asking more. They expect an ongoing service with timely nudges, simple explanation, and the support when it matters. And this is where AI becomes relevant and very powerful, not as a replacement, but as a bridge between human touchpoints. Instead of static advice, we move into a continuous and adaptive journey. Regulatory expectations are also evolving and reinforcing this shift. We're moving from, have you provided advice, to, has your member actually benefiting and having a good outcomes? There's a range of recent regulations and frameworks around this. For those who were in the Johnny's session last session, he's already talked about a lot of this, but the thing is quite common. The government is actually expecting an ongoing engagement from the system, not a one-off compliance. And increasingly, regulators are leaning into AI, but with a very clear message. Innovation is welcome, but governance is critical. So the question becomes, how do we scale guidance without compromising trust? That naturally leads to the next piece. What does it actually take to build this always-on intelligence? Well, data would be crucial here. And a simple principle, you can't personalize what you can't see. So many organizations are starting to build this customer 360 view with balance, transactions, demographics, and their interactions with the super funds. But increasingly, we go beyond that. Behavioral signals, engagement patterns, and household contacts are becoming more and more important. Those multiple data signals start to converge into a more dynamic member profile. And that's what allows us to shift from being reactive to being predictive. Let me pause here and ask the question, how many of you feel we do have a true customer 360 view nowadays? Now hold on the question. Probably not surprising, the reality is many organizations are seeing that gaps, are dealing with that gaps today. And overlay all of this is privacy, member consent, and about the governance. What ultimately underpins one thing there, again, member trust. Once the foundation is in place, that's where intelligence starts to come alive and where predictive analytics start to produce right nudges at the right time. Firstly, there will be smarter segmentations. It's not only about members' balance, their age, but more about their preference, their engagement points, and what outcomes really valuable to them. Secondly, there will be more event-driven triggers. Now, some AI algorithms can help monitor life events or behaviors that can really signal the need for guidance at different points of a member's life stage. For instance, for those approaching age pension, or those experiencing a sudden large withdrawal, or for those being frugal about their retirement, fear of running out, only taking the minimum drawdown. Instead of generic engagement, we now need to move to a highly contextual nudges. And some internal surveys show that members actually enjoy and wanted to be engaged if the super funds can provide them with that confidence that they are on track towards their return goals. So are we set up to deliver that today? Now, there's a lot of groundwork to be done before the AI work can really be at scale, but responsibly. Firstly, technology needs to be there. An always-on system needs a significant investment into data infrastructures. And real-time data pipelines, often cloud-based, is required to feed AI model more continuously. With that infrastructure in hand, AI guardrails can be set up. We've touched a few times, privacy and data is crucial. Now, customers' data needs to be secured and managed carefully so that they're confident and they play trust with superfunds or other service providers actually utilizing their data. We need to constantly play fairness and bias monitoring to make sure that outcomes are equitable and regularly tested for bias. Human interventions is very important. Well, critical decisions needs to involve a human judgment and human interaction. With all those, any guidance or recommendations from an AI system needs to be put in an explainable way and to be very transparent and clear to the members. So bring this to life. How does always-on guidance in practice look like? Well, in the simplest form, you can think about as a 24/7 digital retirement coach. That is something members can always access at any time to ask questions, explore scenarios, and get nudged at the right moment. For instance, a member may be asking, what would their future self-income projection look like if I do want to retire 1 year earlier? Now, the boundaries are very critical because while AI can provide some educational information, such as help me understand the difference between account-based pension and lifetime annuities, and they may also be able to offer some general advice, such as what is your projected income compared to SFR comfortable standard? There are situations when things get very complex and becomes very personal. That's where the system needs to hand over to a human advisor or some human support so that critical judgment can be placed in place and where members have the trust and knowing they've got supported to make those very important decisions. That handover needs to be seamless. So there's a continuous member support rather than feeling a siloed interaction. When we ask our members at CFS, what actually matters to you when it comes down to always-on guidance, a couple of things stand out. The first one, scenario modeling with personalized input is very important. Here's a Victoria. She said, I'd be really curious to keep trying different scenarios. What if I work 2 days a week instead or picked up an extra cash job? So already you can imagine it is a very personalized request. Each retiree will have their own request and they will have their own needs at different parts of their life. Secondly, the always-on coach is an exploration tool. But human oversight is very important. It's interesting to know that those at retirement phase actually don't mind digital interactions. The usage of digital banking and members logging onto their Superfunds app to check on the balance is actually pretty good. So members telling us they're okay and very happy for AI to surface some opportunities, even actionable insights. However, as mentioned earlier, when it comes down to critical decision points, they'd rather to speak to a human advisor to either validate what they have seen, what have they read, but also getting that support when they need to make that decision. The third one, which is also an increasing and very common theme now, this whole of wealth view, including household information or general wealth information, becomes very, very important. It's no longer a differentiator. It's almost like a baseline that a financial institution needs to consider so they can offer a fit-for-purpose and relevant solution for their clients or customers. While always on guidance adds value to the members, at the same time, it helps manage some business risk from service providers such as Superfund's perspective. So I thought I definitely need to include some sort of chart or model because I'm at the Actuary Summit here. But here's an example of how Superfunds nowadays could potentially leverage predictive analytics with targeted engagement and then apply those to a model such as a member attrition propensity model. Instead of applying a fixed or flat attrition assumption, say 4%, predictive models can help identify members at risk of attrition based on factors like their engagement level, their contributions, their balances. What does that do then? So instead of a broad campaign to everyone, you actually design targeted campaigns for those actually need intervention. And over time, we track the impact and seeing members move from high to low risk. And this further strengthens that predictive modeling through error correction loop. So this is where Always On Intelligence delivers with real and measurable outcomes. So we've covered how AI reshapes retirement solution and how it interacts with member engagement. That does lead to a broader shift, which is retirement is not about a product. It's actually about customer journeys. It isn't a single decision point, but rather it's a series of decisions over decades. When to retire, how much to draw down, how to manage my longevity risk, how to pass on and support my family. Always On Intelligence supports that through dynamic modeling and making trade-offs visible to members so they can make more confident choice. But what is more, they can also enable personalized combinations of solutions. For a member, they may get nudged towards a combo of account-based pension or longevity insurance. But for another member, they may better off stick with a flexible pension and cash reserve. Actuaries are critical here while we are designing algorithms that balance income, risk, and flexibility for different cohorts and ensuring they deliver the optimal member outcomes. So that leads to the last part of my presentation. For everyone here, where do we see we as an actuary will fit into this? I see ourselves play a central role in this future model because we bring strengths in the technical understanding about longevity, about risk management, about product design and pricing. But we can also ensure the predictive algorithms are sound, technically and financially, but also ethical. That nudges apply to members at the right time and when they need it. That truly improve member outcomes. We could also leverage our skill sets to help define success measures, such as income sustainability and members' engagement rates. And in monitor that AI human system and making sure they deliver responsibly. The message for the profession, we can embrace AI as a strategic enabler while championing the safeguards that protect the members. And downright, the always-on intelligence may be the silver bullet to solve some of the problems we're facing, which is manage this complex problem in a more scalable way and supporting more members navigate through their retirement journey. With that, that concludes my presentation. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, and thank you, Oscar. Some awesome ideas there around something that we really need to see more of in our industry around digital advice in general and specifically for retirement and those retirement journeys. So thank you. Don't forget, we've got some Q&A on the app and also the microphone in the room, and I've got a few to get us started. So you talked about how with this particular design, there would be a handoff point once it starts to get complicated, once we need to start getting a personal, like a person involved from a personal advice point of view. So what's your thinking around the boundaries around something like this kind of digital coach, around where the general advice stops and when it becomes personal advice, and how do you design an app, and can you actually make it include personal advice in an AI world?
It's a good question. So I think everyone probably agrees we are facing a very complex challenge and problem here. So our view is education is really the key. So it takes time for either members or advisors to really understand what are the needs, what are the problems they're facing. So a big part of this AI interaction is actually to make that support and guidance at scale. There are so many questions members would want to ask. That can be as simple as, what is my account balance? How is my account balance going to look like at retirement time? Would I have enough balance? How sustainable is my target income at retirement? Some of the questions may be similarly easy for people like us, but they are super difficult for members to understand. So I guess before we consider handing over to a human advisor, it's almost important to understand what's the boundary for the retirees or members to fully understand or being able to ask the questions to say, okay, I'm not at a place to consider how much of my retirement balance needs to be annuitized to really ask that question. And then that's a signal for more complex decision making. And that's probably a signal for where human advice comes in, because it does involve a little bit more decision and scenarios, etc. But we are seeing, obviously there's several steps before, where the AI can help and then moving on to the human support.
And so this sort of tool could kind of sit at a few different levels in terms of infrastructure. So what's your thoughts around it being embedded in, say, the fund or at a fund or a wrap level at the platform? Or would it be so that it's a little bit more accessible to customers versus is it a tool that actually advisors would use as well?
Yeah. So as part of the best practice principle and the retirement reporting framework that's currently in consultation, I think the regulators are actually requiring the super funds to start to consider, the accessibility and the adoption or take up on some of this, advice. So I think super funds need to actually beef up the ability to demonstrate how can we support the members to offer the advice to each individual members, advised or direct. Now, there will be some different need or demand from the advisor's point of view, because they have been in the game for a long time. They probably have their familiar tools to use. However, I can still say, and that's based on some of the feedback we hear from advisors, they will still appreciate some information that supports their members' education. So they can, that makes their job easier. However, on the other hand, you can argue that may take away some of their job as well. So I think it's always a tricky part, but overall, advisors' productivity and how can they talk more with more clients with more types of topics is always on top of their minds. So I think to answer the question, if the AI tools or system can support advisors to do more business, to support more of their clients, it's a win-win situation.
And then talking about sort of what organizations in Australia might be doing this already, like, do you have any examples where there are AI-enabled customer journeys or chatbots, and any learnings from what's already out there?
Yeah, sure. So I think different superannuation funds or organizations are probably at different stage of this. We've heard a few presentations early today and throughout the program that some super funds are starting to leverage data and give that sort of active nudges to the members. I would say for sort of adoptions of AI tools, we're still at a very early stage, that people are probably still confused or asking the questions, what is the difference between a sort of a agentic chatbot like ChatGPT? Can I rely on ChatGPT to ask some of the questions? Well, the answer is no, because that's so generic. It can only answer, what is super, maybe some type of questions like that. But if we go deeper, it needs to be carefully crafted. And that's where, this governance structure and the guardrails that I showed earlier become so important. And that's where experts like actuaries play a critical role there. Because I'm sure there's no actuary sitting behind ChatGPT making those comments or answering the questions. But that's where, the difference between a generic chatbot versus this future AI digital coach will look like.
So maybe let's explore that a little bit more, because you're talking there, like, what is the difference between just ChatGPT and something that's actually been designed with retirement advice in mind? There's still some challenges there around how do you avoid the AI bot giving some sort of misrepresentation to the customer? And often what we've learned, and I have learned from ChatGPT, is you've got to ask the right question to get the right answer.
Yes.
So how do you deal and navigate with this when you're designing with retirement advice in mind?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I think just like any models or tools, it comes with risk and its limitations. So it's important with a right mindset with that governance in place. Now, admittedly, super funds are trying to collect all sorts of data. That customer 360 concept is real and is happening. Things like trying to consolidate in different sorts of data from the service partnerships that the super fund may have, that basically have different connect points around a member's life journey. This can be providing support in their age pension applications. Can also be providing certain support, from an insurance partnership point of view around modeling around how the annuity would impact their age pension entitlements. Also from, even making a digital will point of view, members at that older age or for those who have the needs to make those digital estate planning, super funds are embracing the whole ecosystem and throughout which they're trying to collect different dot points, which gives them hints and signals about members' preferences. And that's, again, coming back to drive how the AI nudges will be designed. And that's essentially the AI sort of prompts writer, if you like, because the prompts can only be as accurate as the data tells you. You can only personalize when actually you can see that. Otherwise, it's only going to be a guess, and it won't be as efficient.
And then sort of turning our minds then maybe to from a customer point of view, how do we ensure that we're getting outcomes from these kinds of tools that customers can trust? And like, how do we measure that, and how do we ensure that we don't lose the trust of our customers?
Yes. So trust is critical in the financial service space and in the superannuation and retirement space, which is why I guess you can see the government starts to pay a bit more attention to this, because they obviously have seen a lot more discussion and, acknowledgeably, like, many activities happening in the AI space. So I think a strong governance and a strong sense of security is important. So how do you set up the guardrail again? I keep using that word in the super funds. How do you make sure there's no breach of members' privacy and issues without their full consent? And also importantly, I think as the super funds, the responsibility lies with the trustee to explain to the members how the super fund intend to use the information and what does the nudge or communications to them really mean to them. This is not a, I'll tell you, so you need to follow that. We need to explain to you. And that goes both ways. With more engagement and with more services to meet the members' needs, they're more willing to share their personal or information with the fund. So I quoted the 70%. So members are actually very interested and very keen to get engaged if they know the super funds are helping them to achieve their retirement goals and making sure they are on track. So that confidence, if you give it to the members, they will also show trust back to you.
Awesome. We've got a question here about one of your slides around the interaction between, say, the large language model behind the digital coach and then the projections. So is the large language model actually generating the projection numbers, or is it just narrating the output from some deterministic engine? And then how transparent can it be about some of the underlying assumptions, especially when they can change over time?
Yeah. Look, I won't pretend I'm an expert in this area, because we do work closely with our data science team. So in terms of the model behind the scene, it is sort of a machine learning with the extreme gradient boost model. So it does take that error correction loop. So what it feels like is like it's a tree-based system. So once you fit in a bit more information and check with what's actually happening, it does correct itself with a better accuracy. For whoever raised that question, happy to chat afterwards, and I probably can connect you with our data scientist in the company.
All right, and I mean, through this discussion, I can get a bit of a sense for this one. But from your point of view, you know, what are some of the main challenges and roadblocks for super funds in terms of implementing something like that? What are the big key ticket items that are sort of holding up this kind of development?
Yeah, well, that's a million-dollar question almost. I guess where do I start? So my background is a life actuary, and I specialize in product development pricing. So I know that's a critical part that the industry is facing at the moment. In fact, I think some discussions was raised in the previous sessions. We've got all these range of innovative income stream products. They all seem fantastic, and they all create member outcomes, benefits to the members. But where do we start? Like, if we don't understand the member enough, it's still going to be, you know, pushing us back to the old problem, which is, you know, insurance is the board, not so, right? So, sorry, is it the other way around? So, yeah, so we're gonna fall back to that same problem. Now, if you look at a system-wide interest, I would say, around longevity protection, it is actually there. Like some industry-wide survey does suggest members approaching or in a retirement phase, 10 to 15% actually interested in considering a lifetime income support. But what's the actual, you know, take up in the system? Maybe 1 to 2%. So we're still a huge gap there, and that gap needs to be filled by some level of support, education, and guidance. So I would say what the super funds are facing nowadays is there are so many activities they need to do from a products point of view, from a system integration point of view, from data point of view. How do you embrace digital solutions such as AI? All of them requires a huge amount of investments. So how do you prioritize? How do you see where your members are actually telling you so you can prioritize accordingly? I guess we're all at different paths or different stages of this retirement income solutions roadmap past the 2022 retirement income covenant. So I would say different funds will probably at different stage. For those who know their members the best, probably are best positioned to make the best decisions and spending, you know, the money for the best value for their members.
All right, I think we'll leave it there unless there's any from the crowd. Oscar and I will be around a little bit afterwards if you want to have a bit of a more of a chat. But otherwise, please thank Oscar for his presentation today.
Thank you, everyone.